Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Thinking Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
And I wish I was Kelly Hatfield. Life you're living, the dream you're living.
Oh my gosh, you're too funny.
So the topic today is, what's the true test of intelligence? Just think about that. What's the true test of intelligence? So Kelly, what do you think?
Oh my gosh, you just like sent this to me out of left field. I've not heard this.
Intentionally so, I might add.
What? Okay, so what is it again?
What's the true test of intelligence?
That is deep thinking.
It's hard to
articulate it. Yeah, it's hard to articulate it. And intelligence, you know, like how? What kind of intelligence?
Right, right.
So, well, let's dive in and do your thing.
Okay, well, you know, we're operating from the 30,000-foot view of intelligence. And here's what true intelligence is. It's getting what you want from life. And more specifically, creating the life you want. Pretty sharp, isn't that? That's pretty accurate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the true test of intelligence, is that what?
Yes.
Was? And so it is your ability to create the life, the extraordinary life and the life that you want. Is that?
Well, getting out of life what you want, whatever that is.
Okay.
Whatever that is. I mean, okay. You've been given this precious life, and now you're on your own. You got to figure out how to get what you want. You got to figure out what you want. Then you had to figure out how to get it. Boy, that is true intelligence, I see.
Mm-hmm.
It encompasses a lot of things. It obviously encompasses emotional intelligence, pure intelligence. I think that's enlightening. And especially when you step back a little and go, okay, I buy that intelligence is getting out of life what you want. Well, it would seem obvious to me that the first step would be define exactly what you want. I mean, you know, like, who do I want to be? What do I want to accomplish? And how am I going to accomplish it? I mean, that's just logical, right?
Oh, 100% logical. And then also too, like, again, we talked about this before, but like, how do you know if you've like what you, you know, if you aren't feeding your, you know, reticular activating system, your brain, the clarity that it needs to create, you know, the life that you want.
Right.
And how are you supposed to know where you're going or how to get there if you don't know what there is? And
yeah, exactly.
You know, that clarity piece, and then, you know, understanding those key, you know, pieces like, okay, who do I want to be? Who do I need to be to get to where I want to go?
Right.
And speaking more to identity and those kinds of things. So now it's an interesting concept.
Well, and yeah, as we talked about a while back with the top book of the world on success, it's all about clarity. I mean, it literally comes down to one word. And so intelligence flows from you just having clarity about what you want and how you're going to get it and who you want to be. And here's another thing, and I heard this, and I forget who to attribute this to. But the same person that came up with that came up with this other thing. What do you think the currency of life is? The currency of life. Do you think it's time? Do you think it's money? What do you think it might be?
Time is the first thing that just jumps out at me.
Right.
What is the question again? The currency of life? What is the currency?
Yeah, what is the currency of life?
Yeah, I would say time would probably be, it wouldn't be money in my mind anyway.
Right.
It would be time. The word influence popped into my head for some reason.
Right.
I'm interested. What's their take on it?
Attention. Attention. Think how powerful that is. You control your intention. I mean, money's a factor, time's a factor, but at the end of the day, your attention is what is most important, because at the end of the day, success is a function of the thoughts going on in your head most of the time. That's determining your success. That's determining your enjoyment of life. And all that is basically a function of attention. What are you putting your attention to? We're also, the person that exists today is a combination of their genetics and what has come into their consciousness. So how have you been influencing what's coming into your consciousness? Mm-hmm. That's your attention. And again, seems like all roads come back to clarity. Once you're clear about what you want, then your reticular activating system, the filter for the brain, brings that to your consciousness. So does that make sense?
Yep, it does. It goes back to kind of that saying, and I don't know who said this originally, but where your attention goes, the energy flows.
Right.
That same thing. What you focus on expands. It's that same kind of philosophy. So no, I get that. And when you're talking about attention, when you're talking about clarity. And we're tying it back to what we were talking about, at the beginning of, where this podcast and discussion started. It's like anything that you want a positive outcome on, so let's even say that it is a conversation you need to have with somebody.
Right.
Having a lot of clarity around all of the different moving pieces and that person's perspective and all of play into the outcome that you're going to get out of that particular situation, or that particular deal you're going after, or that particular. And so it would make sense that on a grander scale, your life, the very same thing holds true.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting. So I just finished writing my second book, Advanced Leadership of Self, The Science of Leveraging Yourself. And I did it aided by AI, which was a phenomenal experience. But one of the things that, and I would have extensive conversations with AI, and one of the things that AI said back to me said, the people that are just winging life, which is the vast majority of them, are really surprised when they hear that 95% of their daily actions, or up to 95% of their daily actions, are unconscious. And the implication of that, as we've discussed 100 times, is that you don't control the very thing that is determining your success. And even more fundamentally, because they're unconscious, your conscious mind, intelligence, and intellect is not directing your daily actions. And so that's the effect of all that, is you are inconsistent about being able to do the right actions that you need to create the life you want. And that's why, and there's a lot of research about why people continually recreate their life, because they have nothing pulling them forward. Mm-hmm. But, when you look at it this way, and it's interesting to talk to AI about this, because one thing I've seen from writing the book is it has a much deeper understanding of logic than I do, than humans do. I mean, and I'm pretty logical. I can sort of see the the path, but it has a much deeper ability to articulate logic beyond what I can. But I guess the takeaway from all this is that is the main point is that if you're winging life, you typically don't know that you're not in control of your daily actions. You think you are. I mean, I suffered from that. Once I discovered all the things I discovered, I saw I had that false belief that I controlled my daily actions when I only controlled 5% of them. So, you know, what a game changer it is when you sort of realize all this, especially when you see not only is that true, but, oh, here's a way to take control of them. And it just takes 12 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, it's interesting. And so this book I'm writing is, the purpose of it is to be the academic text for this emerging field of advanced leadership itself. And so there can't be any like marketing things. And, you know, and sometimes how we speak, we don't, maybe don't intend it to be, but it comes off as marketing. And it's been interesting to make sure that there's none of that. And I see how easy it is to take something that you might glibly say and sort out the marketing component of that and say it, you know, more clearly, and it doesn't sound like marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's interesting what the language models inside AI and, you know, understanding your audience really well. And, you know, because obviously maybe in your first book, some of that language and framing was great in the
right.
It was coming from your perspective. It was your story, how it impacted your life, you know, but now coming from a different vantage point, you know, academic side of things, and then having the input, because I would see this is your story. It's personal to you. This is life-changing.
Right.
So even just in sharing that, that can sometimes come off as being marketing. You know what I mean? I'm sure that was an interesting process going through writing your second book with having that additional insight.
Well, it was interesting to be able to create the book. We did it chapter by chapter, and then at the end, I came back and said, okay, there's like six things that I want to make sure are properly emphasized. I also want to make sure that there's not too much repetition. Of course, some repetition is really valuable, but as you probably know, we can overdo it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, went through that process. Okay, let's take a look at the book as a whole and pull out the repetition. But also, here's like five or six concepts that I really want to drive home. And one of them was the academia today and leadership today fundamentally misses that 95% of a person's daily actions are unconscious. And that's a fatal flaw in the entire leadership industry. And AI supports this and talks about how Harvard is missing it, Stanford is missing it, you know. And I said, well, let's drive that home. That's our key things that makes us way different than anything else. So let's make sure that is driven home 20 times. And another one is I'm like, well, this gives you an edge in life. And that's an example of marketing. You know, I mean, it sounds sort of marketing, but hey, it does give you an edge in life. I mean, and so it could take that, you know, I don't have the mental capability to articulate that nearly as well as AI could. And it could say it in a way that doesn't come off as marketing. So,
right. Yep. Isn't that interesting?
It was pretty interesting. You know, I'll tell you something that happened this weekend that was interesting. So one of my students from many years ago got married. So the Ginge and I go to the wedding. It's here in Austin. And she was my assistant for a time. And when I met her, I had a little one-on-one visit with her, as I do all my students. And she tells me she wants to be a physician's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, why do you want to be an assistant? You know, if you want to be a physician, be a physician. But I just didn't like that limiting thing. And not that there's anything wrong with being a physician's assistant, but you know, she was 19 years old. And so what evolved ultimately was she saw that she really didn't want to be a physician's assistant. And after she learned our methodology, she became a counselor, which is really along her wheelhouse. And so, but it was funny. So we're there at the wedding. We don't know anybody but the bride and groom and the mom. I'd met the mom before. And so the Ginge and I are there. Of course, Ginge, as she well know, loves small talk.
She does. She's the queen of it.
I hate small talk.
She's got the gift for gab.
She's talking there. You know, anybody she can find that looks like they're halfway awake, she's talking to them.
I love it.
And I'm just basically standing there. But I'm really observing of people. And so I'm observing. I hope this doesn't sound too sexist, but I know you're...
No, it's going to. You just set the framework. So we already know it is going
here,
to.
So. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
An alert. A sexism
alert. Sexist alert. So I'm looking. Now, can you imagine? Most of the crowd is in their 20s. And then you have like the parent side who are, you know, probably 60, 50, okay. 60, something like that. So that's the dynamics of what you have going. And I'm looking at those, the girls, and the girls either are alone or they're with a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're with the boyfriend, the girls are, they're like at the Super Bowl. They're like, boy, I'll tell you. I want this to happen for me. And I got this slub right next to me that he needs to step up. You know, I mean, she is locked in on this. She's happy for her friend, but you know, this is it. This is, or, you know, making me aware that this thing needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And of course, the guy is thinking, God, when are they going to have the cake? You know, that's the full extent of what he's thinking.
Finally, they're like, when does the bar open up? Yeah.
Yeah. That's as deep as they're thinking. They're not thinking about the rest of their life and finding their partner in life. And then you have the single girls. Mm-hmm. And I look at them and, you know, I'm like, okay. Well, how are you going to find somebody? They have no clue. They have no clue at all. No plan. They're not even clear what they're looking for. They have no idea of how they're going to do it. They're just like 99% of people just winging it, hoping for the best.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the parents. I sort of look at them and I'm like, you know, they're by and large winging life too, because nobody really taught people how to lead themselves. So everybody wings it, and that's just the effect. And obviously, some of them are more successful than others. And I'm thinking, well, what made them successful or not successful? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not leading yourself, largely it's luck.
Mm-hmm.
Largely, it's luck. Now, there's some factors like how you were raised. You know, maybe your parents made you hardworking, and some of it is genetics and all that. But I guess it's that combination of luck and genetics that creates whatever has come forth. You think that's an accurate estimate of what goes on with people?
I think so. I think there's probably more to it than that, but I think that that's a good generalization. If you're sitting there observing people in groups at a wedding,
right,
you know, and looking at it from that lens, then yeah. And if you just are looking at it too, in terms of just the statistics we talk about, where you've got 2% of people, well, yeah, then that means that most of the people, regardless of what their age are just winging it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And so, yeah.
Well, and the other thing that's interesting is that 2% also is the people that are basically highly successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, You know, I mean, and that's not all money by any means. Mm-hmm. It's you know, let's define success as having adequate money, but even more important, what's your relationship with yourself? What's your relationship with your spouse? Do you have a partner to share your life with? When you really look at it, only 2% can really say they have the exceptional life.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no clue about that when I was in college, and neither do any of my students.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is eye-opening. I'm not sure they believe me yet, but I'm like, yeah, you keep on winging life and you're going to get that average life.
And I think so too, John, even more so today than ever, because they're, you know, what's happening with them and the social media input.
Yeah.
And, you know, technology and kind of what that is doing, I think also is, you know, training their brain, you know, to not think deeply about anything, to totally just wing it, to be looking externally instead of working on the internal part and focusing on that. So like they've got even bigger challenges, you know, the generation that you're dealing with in college and then the generation after that have even more up against, you know, and also too, I think, you know, if you're looking at the different factors that are happening culturally, you know, it's the same thing. There are different obstacles than we had, you know, as we were, you know, coming up in technology. And I think social media being really the one of the main factors that this makes this even more important because they have the kind of the cards stacked against them from a brain standpoint. They've got models and people making billions of dollars trying to train their brains to, you know, not think. So I think that's part of the challenge that we've got too with the youth. And I think part of maybe some of the disenchantment, you know, that they may be feeling about the world that they're beginning to engage with as young adults.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, AI pointed out to me that everything in the leadership space is all conscious mind stuff that, you know, you ought to have this strategy or that strategy. But it's 100% conscious mind stuff. And as it points out very astutely, how can you have a leadership of self model if you ignore the 95% of behavior that's unconscious? You can't. And so that's what's so, to me, so stunning, that the entire leadership industry and academia misses it, but also the great opportunity for what we teach. So
absolutely an excellent opportunity. And I just think, you know, using myself and everybody who's listening to this as an example, listen, obviously everybody who's listening to this has a growth mindset and, you know, is in pursuit, you know, of something. And so we've all gone to the conference. We've all taken in new information that this is life-changing, all conscious material, strategies, tactics, things along those lines that we got. We're so excited about going in and implementing it. We did for a while of time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, a month goes by and you're like, oh yeah, I was doing that. You know, I'm not anymore. What happened? You know, and I think, you know, that is a real example of what it is that people are dealing with. We've all done that before where you are so excited about learning something new. You implement it. You're implementing it with success for a window of time. And then something happens that throws you off track. So your old subconscious program.
Right.
And then, you know, it's a foregone conclusion and you've stopped doing it.
Yeah.
For me, it was such a relief to understand, oh, okay, so that's how my brain is designed. You know,
yeah.
So all then I need to do is put it in different input and I'll get a different outcome. And so anyway, I know we've talked about this a million times, but that's what's so exciting about this is that you've got, it gives you control over your daily actions and thoughts.
Right.
Anyway. I love
it. That's the lesson today. You have to have clarity and you have to have control over your thoughts and actions. So until next time, we'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute a day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for a free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich. and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.